internet, from the internet to your ears, this is RFD.
Alert, alert, alert. Wake up! Wake up! Do you understand what's happening out there?
I don't know about you, but I want to party. I want to rock the house. I want to take care of business, if you know what I mean, and I hope you do. So buckle your belts, grab your hats, zip your pants, and hoist your bats. We got some rocking to do tonight.
Welcome to the Stephen Roy Podcast. Yes, I am he. I am the Stephen Roy. And before you ask, yes, that is my real name, Stephen Roy. I know because I've been asked that a lot. It is the 12th of April, the year of our Lord, 2025. Already almost halfway through April. Did you do your taxes yet? Tax day is coming up in a couple days. We did ours a while ago. Got a bit back. Isn't it amazing? Oh, the government gave me so much money after I did my taxes. No, they did not. That is your money, and you paid too much to the government. That's why you got a big return. No, it's not a gift, unless, of course, you have no income, and the government's still giving you money after you file your taxes with no income. Now, you know, don't take me the wrong way. If you're legitimately disabled, let's say you're a disabled veteran, I think we should take care of veterans forever. That's what I think. You sacrifice for this nation, especially if you got hurt. So let's say you ran over an IED and lost your legs. Yes, you should be taken care of for the rest of your life. So I'm not heartless. Government aid should be for those who need it. We can't turn our back on senior citizens. You can't, well, I don't think it's this way now, but I don't think you can give money to an illegal alien right when they come across. Here's a $2,000 gift card. Here's a phone. Oh, I know only $100 million came in. Yeah, we have $100 million illegal aliens. And then people, David, you can't say $100 million. You can't. You don't know that. That's the point there, Homer. Nobody knows. Can you tell us not to rant for a second hour yet? Well, let's do the rumble. Take another drink of my drink. Suppose I probably should get my phone ready, since it never is. All right, let's do it. Here we go. Welcome to the Rumble for, as I fix my chair, I'm supposed to do that before we go on the air and take my headphones off. This is the Rumble for the 12th of April, 2025. You know, some of the best comments that I ever got from listeners is, David, I noticed this was crooked last Rumble. I got this in 1982 in Newcastle, New South Wales, Australia. What an amazing trip that was. What an amazing year it was. Marched in the Rose Parade. I marched at halftime in a Rams game. Marched before a World Series game in Dodger Stadium. It's a pretty incredible year. Went to Australia. That's pretty awesome. So welcome to the Rumble. Did I say it's... Yeah, I believe I did say it's April 12th. I can't remember 5 seconds ago, but I can remember 50 years ago. Isn't that amazing? It's great to be with you here. I wanted to talk for a minute about what it means to be West Texas tough. In fact, that's what I'm going to entitle this week's Rumble. Look, if you don't like wind and dust, you can't live here, okay? It's amazing to me. I go on vacation. You know, I used to live in Lubbock, but... the wind and the dust is so bad, I can't live there. That's the point. It's called Yankee repellent. If you can't stand wind and dust, you can't live here in West Texas. That's just the way it is. It's the way it's always been. I don't mind wind and dust. Wind certainly doesn't bother me. I have lived where it is wind blows so hard. I used to lean the boom. Here's the boom of my bucket truck. I used to lean the boom up against the telephone pole like this. Up so when it went up, up against the telephone pole, so that the wind would not blow over the bucket truck. Yeah. I worked in the field for that many years. So I know what it's like to crawl under houses, to crawl in attics, to drill through walls, run coax everywhere, run DC cable everywhere, run Cat 5 everywhere. I've done it all. I've done it all. That's why I think I would be an incredible asset for a radio station, because I can do engineering work. I've done it all in radio. I've done play-by-play. I was sports director of a station that did probably 100 games in over a year. I've done voice work on several different stations. I've done news. I've done play-by-play, as I mentioned. Basketball and football and baseball. I can do all three. I can be live on the air. So I could do a morning show. I could do an afternoon show. Whatever. I can do production, recording commercials, produce imaging. I can do programming, like uploading playlists and ads. Used to use a program called Scott Studios. Now I've heard it's Google Automation. Super easy to use. And then we also used a program called Merge and Music Master. Music Master to schedule music. Merge to combine traffic, which is ads, and music. That's how you make a music station. And I learned how to do it all. Upload all the stuff. And then before that, I used Audio Vault. Very old system. Worked great, but very old. So that was a job, having to do that. But I think that's really the only way to have a radio station. What are you going to do? Play CDs? Back in the day, we played vinyl records. Yes, I know what vinyl records are. When I was a teenager, I would buy a song on 45, which cost like $1.50 for a 45 record. That's a little album. Little album had a little hole in the middle. You had to put an adapter in to put it in a record player, or unless the record player had an adapter. Yeah, I used to record off of 45s onto cassette tapes, especially for my car. My first car had a great stereo in it. My parents, that was like, I think it was like my birthday present or Christmas present, don't remember. Not long after I got my first car, and I put that radio in and it rocked. I think I added an amplifier equalizer. Then I put 2 6x9s in the back deck lid. Remember when you had speakers in the back deck lid of your sedan? My first car was a 1974 Ford Maverick Coupe. And that was probably bought in early 80s, 82, 83, if I had to guess. And it ran great, but it was only an inline six. I went to Marine Corps boot camp in the summer of 1985. And when I got out, I put a 302 in that Maverick. And let me tell you something, that thing was fast. Because a Maverick is small. It's smaller than a Mustang. And except maybe the Mustang too. That was a mistake of a car, wasn't it? So it was smaller than a Mustang, and that thing would move. I was going to school one day, and this 5.0 Mustang GT comes up next to me. Ah! And I just stepped on it and left him like he wasn't even there. And I even put headers on that Maverick, which, my gosh, headers on a Maverick, they were expensive. You could probably pay $100 back in the 80s. That was 1985. 1985, you could probably buy a set of headers for a 350 for $100. Buying headers for a Ford Maverick was like $450. And seems like one piece was even two pieces. So you bolted one piece to the exhaust manifold, to the head where the exhaust manifold used to go. And then you would bolt the second piece of the headers to the first piece, right? Because it was difficult to get it in there, but they worked. And then after the headers, I had glass packs, which is almost like not having a header, and they were loud. Glass packs are known because they go You go rum, da 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 da, and it makes a like a backflow noise like that. Hard to describe. Very almost a straight through muffler is what it is. So I had two glass packs bolted to the headers. They were glass packs that bolted right up to your headers. And then I had two 90s. Boop! One that came out before the back tire. That was the exhaust system. I'm digressing. But I did a lot of that work, almost all of that work myself on the Maverick. And then I had a 65 Mustang, which I worked on the engine. And I did less performance stuff on the Mustang because I learned the more high performance stuff you put on a car, less reliable it is. So I still had a stock ignition. I did put an Edelbrock Performer intake manifold, a Holley double pumper carburetor, and what else did I put on that car? Oh, and a high lift cam. When that thing would sit at an idle, it was like just like that. So, you know, the whole point of my story is that I am West Texas tough because, number one, I'm a former Marine Corps boot camp sure made me a man. Number two, done a lot of work on cars myself. I don't want to do so much now if I don't have to. And number three, I worked in the field for so many years. You know, now I work inside. But yesterday was a perfect example. I had to work late yesterday because we had a power outage. And isn't that a surprise? LP&L, Lubbock Power and Light, power outage. Shocker. So, just wanted to talk for a minute about that. That's why I would be such a good asset, because I know how to run a radio station. I know how to manage electronic sites, radio, and I've built two studios. Ironically, in two different markets, I built two different classic rock studios. So, ironically, I do love classic rock. When I was young and silly, it was just rock. Now it's classic rock. Oh, don't worry, I'm still silly. May not be as young as I used to be, but I'm still silly. All right, click the wrong button on my phone. Let's go to my ex at Stephen Roy Radio. Don't have much use for Facebook. I do have a Facebook account, but that's for friends and family. You won't see me post any politics or radio stuff on that. You have to go to my ex at Stephen Roy Radio. Thank you to everyone who watched my last show. There was 268 clicks on that link, and I do appreciate it. Oh, you know, I started to watch this. I watched the launch, but I never watched the landing. I got to finish watching the landing. But I post every launch and landing from SpaceX. So that is a NROL-192 mission. NROL stands for the National Reconnaissance and Observation something or another. So that's what those satellites are. They're spy satellites. That's what they launch for that National Reconnaissance Office. But that's what it is. It's a spy satellite. They use almost the same technology as the Hubble Space Telescope. The only difference is the Hubble Space Telescope looks at space, and a space telescope looks at the ground. Looks at the ground. Arch Kennedy posted this. For over a decade, Zucky Mark Zuckerberg has been the single greatest enemy of free speech, silencing conservatives while claiming to protect democracy. I know it because I lived it. Now he finally may face the consequences. Senator Hawley is demanding answers to why Bookface has been destroyed by Zucky the Alien. And I said, Zucky the Alien is a criminal. He made Bookface worthless. Bookface is worthless to me because I was always in Facebook jail. So you won't find me on Bookface. Hardly ever go on my family page, but it is there. Used to have 5,000 friends. When you know, you had an individual account and that's all you could get was 5,000. Now on the X, at Stephen Roy Radio, it's like, I think it was 69, 65 this morning. I'd have over 10,000 followers if not for the fact that I have to block most of them because of stuff they say or because they're just bots. Did you see Peter Ducey get zapped by a pigeon? Peter Ducey got hit by a pigeon. He's standing in front of the White House, and this was it a pigeon? Yeah, it was a pigeon. I was going to say it's a crow. No, it's a pigeon. Dive bombed him. You know, they say that crows, for example, will do that if you're close to a nest or if you hurt one of their buddies, because they do talk. If you think I'm kidding, I'm not. Even grackles here in West Texas, they have different songs. They have different codes that they chirp to each other. They will get together if you hurt one, and they'll get their buddies to get you too. Remember the movie Birds? Those were crows. Well, the same is true of ravens in Alaska. When I lived in Southeast Alaska, the ravens wouldn't bother you unless you got them mad. You got them mad, they would come after you. Now, the locals called them flying rats. They even called eagles flying rats, if you can believe that. There were bald eagles everywhere when I lived there. So I never called a raven a flying rat. They're beautiful because they're so much bigger than a crow. And they say they talk. Locals didn't like them because they'll get into your trash and that kind of stuff. Well, if you kept it closed, they wouldn't. Yeah, if you got piles of trash, they'll get into it. But only a bear. Well, a raccoon will knock over a trash can to try to get into it, because I had that happen. So there's a big talk about Maine with trans testicles being allowed to compete in men's sports. And this is my advice to you. Here's some advice from your Uncle Steven. So if someone tells you it's okay for a dude to be in girls' sports, then here's what you say. You say, oh, okay, so you think it's okay for a dude to beat the crap out of a woman. Is that okay? Is that what you believe? What can they say? No, that's not okay. Right. Girls should not be faced with dudes in sports and in their locker rooms. So if they say no, or yes, I think dudes should be in girls' sports, then that's what you tell them. Oh, okay. So when a male volleyball player, I believe it was in the Mountain League, it doesn't matter. When the girl volleyball player, I think it was playing for San Diego State, purposely slammed a ball to hurt women, and they ended up in the hospital with brain damage, you think that's okay, huh? When Algerian dude beats the living snot out of the boxer, I think she was from Italy, doesn't matter where she was from. The point is, she said, you know what? I've been fighting for years. I have never been hit like that. Well, oh, because it was a dude that smacked the crap out of her. How about the dude field hockey player that shattered a woman's occipital lobe? There's basketball players that are, okay, great. Now you have a dude on your team like Brittany Griner, who's 6'9 or whatever he is. Sorry, it's still not okay. I don't know if Brittany is a dude. Looks like a dude, you know. If you look like a dude and you sound like a dude, you know, I'm not going to use the pronoun. Maybe I should give this warning out for radio and TV stations. I am not going to say they. You are not a they, them. You're one person. You're a he or you or a she, or I can call you by name. If you have a problem with he and she, fine. I'll call you, you know, Moonshine or whatever the heck your name is. Okay, that's fine. I'll call you that. But I'm not calling you they, them. Because you're not plural. You're one person. I don't care if you were conjoined twins. You're still not one person, right? Well, maybe then you could be they, them. If you were conjoined twins. Wow. So I commented on that. So let's see. Evan said this. I'll tell you how it went. If China retaliates by halting exports to the USA completely, it will expose how totally reliant we are on them. Get ready to see everyone who has melted down over tariffs over the past week begin championing the cause. I think we are in for some interesting and possibly transformative times. I think it was Josh Hawley that posted on the X that Missouri alone has lost tens of thousands of manufacturing jobs. Tens of thousands of plants have closed nationwide because of us importing so much crap from China. And 99% of what comes from there is crap. I've had to send stuff back to Amazonian because it was such crap. Last thing I bought that was crap was a battery for my blower. Didn't even fit. And that's my fault for ordering stuff online, but the battery that you could buy, say, at the Wally World, it's like $150. $150 for a battery. I bought batteries for my prosumer weed eater, and I think I bought two for like $49.95, and they work just as good as the new one. Yeah, sure, they're made in China, but I'll pay more for stuff if nothing else is coming from China. I mean, why would we buy shirts from China? Right? They often buy American cotton, probably an S load of which, and I know an S load of which is grown here in West Texas. That's the number one agricultural product in West Texas is cotton. I had no idea there was so much science behind growing cotton. Number two agricultural product, cattle. I was telling D last night, we watched this movie that I highly recommend, and I don't even remember the name of it. It's with, it's about these couples that get together and one is crazy. Okay, that should be hard to find. James McAvoy something plays the lead role. And the girl that played Cindy Parks, I don't even remember her name, is Mackenzie Brown, Mackenzie something. The girl that played Cindy Parks in The Martian also plays the wife in this movie. And it was really good. Enjoyed it. We watched that last night. Oh, we also watched Finch. We watched Finch with Tom Hanks. Although I don't like it, Tom Hanks politically, I like that movie. He's a good actor. If you haven't seen The Man Called Otto, I believe this is the movie. You need to see that. Watch Finch. It's really cute. That's a post-apocalyptic movie. And you know I like those because my favorite TV show is The Walking Dead. So he says, I think we are in for some interesting times and possibly transformative times. Evan posted that, and I don't think it. Her name is Evan because she's a chick. I don't think your name's Evan there, ma'am. And I wrote, if true, they will cause their own destruction. So if China halts all imports from the United States, I think now there's 125% import tax. Fine. Ours is like 156%. So I'm not paying more for widgets if I can get them elsewhere. So if true that China cuts off the United States from imports and doesn't want our imports, doesn't send exports here, that's their own problem. They will fail. Their economy is already failing. The government is already struggling. And then I ask this question. Have you ever seen a container ship from China? Because I've seen them rolling into San Francisco Harbor. For example, when I was there for the San Francisco Giants game, going right by the stadium was a container ship. Going right by the stadium was probably from Japan, a freighter with cars. You ever seen a car ship? I've seen them unload those things, and you wouldn't believe it. They have a giant ramp that comes down from the ship, and then car after car after car after car comes here. Do you think you can export an American car to Japan without paying a tariff? Oh, I bet you can. Bet they lowered tariffs on our goods, and then that way we don't overtax their goods. Now, some Japanese cars are very good. It's like everything. It's like South Korean cars. When they first came here, they were crap, and now they're getting better. Same with Japanese cars. When they first came here, they were crap, and now they're better. They're better. I mean, can you blame someone for buying a Japanese car where the engine's going to last 300,000 miles? And you're lucky if you can get 100,000 miles on an American car. Now, when I win the Powerball tonight, I would buy a Cybertruck for spite. And I would get it wrapped matte black. It's a stainless steel body, so they don't paint it, but they will wrap it for you in several different colors, and you have to pay extra for that, like $6,500 to get it wrapped. I would wrap it matte black. I think that would be cool. But hey, I've seen cars wrapped. You know, where when you wrap a car, it's literally a sticker that sticks to the car. And I've seen Teslas wrapped. I think one was, I don't even remember, insurance agency, finance guy, I don't remember. So I wrote that, and then someone wrote some crazy stuff, and he's got like two followers, and he has the New Mexico deal, cross dealy on his profile. I said, oh, from New Mexico, huh? Yeah, we really love seeing their chili and yellow plates. And when you see a yellow plate here in West Texas, you need to be careful because they're terrible drivers. When you go across the border like we have to go to Rio Doso or Santa Fe or Albuquerque, you will notice that they don't drive very good. They usually drive below the speed limit. They usually drive crazy. And they're not. And mind you, Lubbock has the worst drivers I've ever seen in the United States. I just get mad at myself when I say the choice ones I do. Yeah. I'm not believing that for a second. New Mexico is a state where blinkers, speed limits, and driver's licenses are suggested. That's funny. Yeah, that was a good post. Do I follow that line? Yep, we do follow each other. Good. All right, go back and scroll down. Scroll down, D-Man. Mm-hmm. Tulsi Gabbard, she's the director of national intelligence, if you don't know. She has announced at a cabinet meeting that her office has obtained evidence of massive vulnerabilities on voting machines that will allow hackers to flip votes. We have evidence on how these electronic voting machines have been vulnerable to hackers for a very long time and vulnerable to exploitation to manipulate the results of the votes being cast, which further drives forward your mandate to bring about paper ballots across the country so that voters can have faith in our elections. So there's only one reason to have Wi-Fi on a voting computer. There's only one reason. Well, that's just to download the vote, David. No, the only reason to have internet access active on a voting machine is fraudulection. That's the only reason. The only reason that Democrats oppose voter ID is fraudulection. There was a massive fraudulection in 2020, in 24, and this recent election, 24, 20, 22, and 24 had massive fraudulection, especially in places like Arizonistan, Michiganistan, Oregonistan. Yes. I'm telling you, Georgia-Zuela has massive fraud. Now, they claim it's better now. They claim that it was better in 2024. I don't know. I just know that Mrs. Kemp and Secretary Raffi did nothing to stop it before 2024. Nothing. And in fact, when the Abrams tank accuses Mrs. Kemp of fraudulection, I could believe it either way now. So I don't think that's so crazy. Trying to find where my first post was today. Probably should just go to tweets instead of replies. And then I'll probably find it. Yeah, here it is. Here's my first post. Gotta do that since there's only 4 minutes and 20 seconds in the show left. Here is the verse of the day. I know what it is to be in need. I do know what it is to be in need. I remember when I moved to Truckee, California, which is the town just above Lake Tahoe, I was so broke, I had to buy groceries with a credit card. Not a debit card, with a credit card. And I was so broke, I had to buy supper. I had to buy breakfast for supper because that was the cheapest, and I had to drink water. So I know what it's like to be broke. I do. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether with living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Philippians 4, 12 and 13. And that's exactly right. Look, you know, if you've listened to the show, or if you watched the show before, I lived for many years miserable. Miserable. Nothing was ever good enough. Why do you think athletes and actors and all these wannabes go broke so fast? Why do 90% of lottery winners lose everything they have? Because no matter how much money they have, they're not happy. You can only buy stuff so much to be happy. You can only buy stuff so much to be happy. So they're miserable because... So I was miserable, speaking for myself, because I moved all over the country, literally. I've lived all over the United States of America. I have. I almost moved to Brunei. If oil prices didn't drop, I was offered $210,000 a year to be on the radio and television in Brunei. I was going to have a free car, free place to live. They were going to come pick me up in a limousine every day to take me to the radio station. So I would have an air shift on the radio every day. This was not just in Brunei and Malaysia. They actually had radio stations in Australia. And then once a week, I was going to do a short show on the DirecTV of Asia. I don't know what that's called, but so I would have had a TV and radio show with FM 101 in Brunei, but the Sultan of Brunei cut off funding to the station. And so around Christmas time, the DHL that was on its way was stopped. And I did not get the offer because they were shutting down the radio station. So on New Year's Eve of that year, I don't even remember what year. I want to guess 2008, probably. They shut down the radio station, and that was it. It was off the air. Before that, the Sultan of Brunei, who's a billionaire, was funding that radio station at $20,000 an hour. And because that was broadcasting for English-speaking radio, for the oil field workers that mostly worked for Dutch Shell in and around the Brunei area. So, yeah, that was the closest I got to going back to commercial radio. I have been called for jobs recently, but either they weren't interested or I wasn't interested in working so hard to send them my reel or MP3. Well, one gentleman called from San Antonio, and I said, hey, I'm happy to send you an MP3 from my studio when I get home. I said, in the meantime, you can listen to this show on the Rumble or my podcast on Radio Free Dish Nuts, and then I never heard from him again. So that was it for that. So that is, so the point of my story is this. Moved all over the country. Several relationships failed. Always looking for a better house, a better job. And I wasn't happy. And when I met Dee in 2022, and I went to church with her for the first time in 17 years, I realized the joy and peace that I experienced after returning to church came from God. So the only way happiness, true love, true joy and peace comes from God. It will not come from anything you buy. That's the secret. So I've invited people to come to Church on the Rock, where Dee and I go now, and it's just an amazing experience just to be there. Gotten involved with men's groups, two different men's groups, and that's fun too. All right, well, we're done with the show for today. Hope you enjoyed it. Hey, you have a good day. You have a good week. You have a good night tonight. Yes, now you have to. That's it for the Rumble. I will upload that to their servers. It was kind of slow last week. Some weeks it's faster than others, but that's okay. We don't have a whole lot to do today. I just went through a bunch of stuff for home protection. I'm going to leave it at that. So I tell people all the time, oh, really? Come and take it. Come and take it. All right, we're 35 minutes into the podcast. Let's continue. I've got some great music ready to go. I want to talk just for a second about K-Best Country in Big Spring, Texas. You know, the reason radio is still great is because of local stations. You know, a lot of your corporate stations now, they play nationally syndicated shows, and some of those are good. There'll never be another Rush Limbaugh. Sorry, Clambuck, but you're not Rush Limbaugh. So there are good syndicated shows, but there's nothing better than live and local radio. And so this week I listened to K-Best Country and truly enjoyed it. Truly enjoyed it. Heard this song, had to download it and play it for you. And because it adds to several songs that I have singing about West Texas. So let's play William Clark Green on the Stephen Roy Podcast.
When I came to town, I was just about as green could be. I ain't never seen a feedlot, never seen no tumbleweed. I still smell the cow shit every time the wind blows east. Still got a whole lot of Lubbock left in me. I hung around and stuck it out that 7-year degree. It was $50, a case of beer from some fraternity. Them cowboy aspirations turned to busted guitar strings. Still got a whole lot of Lubbock left in me. Just turn one and one that's on the way. I ain't raising me no Aggie, I ain't paying for UT. Still got a whole lot of Lubbock left in me. Yeah. I set sail to blaze a trail, chasing down a dream. It's been drowning blood, dust, and mud and stuff between my teeth.
Oh my God, RFD!
I was just 15 and out of control. Lost to James Dean and rock and roll. I knew down deep in my country soul that I had to get away. Hollywood was a lady in red who danced in my dreams as I tossed in bed. I knew I'd wind up in jail or dead. if I had to stay. I thought happiness was Lubbock, Texas, in my rearview mirror. My mama kept calling me home, but I just did not want to hear. And the vision was getting clearer in my dreams. So I lit out one night in June, stoned on the glow of the Texas moon, humming an old Buddy Holly tune called Peggy Sue.
Peggy Sue.
With my favorite jeans and a cheap guitar, I ran off chasing a distant star. If Buddy Holly could make it that far, then I figured I could too. And I thought happiness was Lubbock, Texas, in my rearview mirror. My mama kept calling me home, but I just did not want to hear her. And the vision was getting clearer in my dreams. But the Hollywood moon didn't smile the same old smile that I'd grown up with. The lady in red just wanted my last dime. And I cried myself to sleep at night, too dumb to run, too scared to fight, and too proud to admit it at the time. So I got me some gigs on Saturday nights, not much more than orchestrated fights. I'd come home drunk and I'd try to write, but the words came out wrong. Hell-bent and bound for a wasted youth, too much gin and not enough vermouth. Me how to seek the truth before I put it in song. I still thought happiness was Lubbock, Texas, in my rearview mirror. My mama kept calling me home, but I just could not, would not hear her. And the vision was getting clearer in my dreams. Well, I thank God each and every day for giving me the music and the words to say. I'd have never made it any other way. He was my only friend. And now I sleep a little better at night, and when I look in the mirror in the morning light, the man I see was both wrong and right. He's going home again. I guess happiness was Lubbock, Texas, and my rearview mirror. But now happiness is Lubbock, Texas, growing nearer and dearer. And the vision is getting clearer in my dreams. And I think I finally know just what it means. And when I die, you can bury me in Lubbock, Texas. In my
real radio was never like this. This is RFD.
For rain and thank him when it's falling, cause it brings a grain and a little bit of money. We put it back in a plate, I guess that's why they call it God's country. I saw the light in a sunrise, sitting back in a 40 on the muddy riverside, getting baptized in holy water and shine with the dogs running.
Still on a 3-day haul, roads and rails under their feet, Yeah, that sounds like a first-class seat on the plains of Oklahoma, with a windshield sunset in your eyes, like a watercolor painted sky. You think heaven's doors have opened, you'll understand why I got me. Take a ride across the Badlands, feel that freedom on your face, breathe in all that open space, and meet a girl from Amarillo. You'll understand why I got me. You might even want to plant your stakes in those flyover states.
For the best in talk, tunes, and more, this is RFD.
RIAA Bite Me.
Denied!
From the internet, to your ears, this is RFD.
Good morning! Oh, and in case I don't see you, good afternoon, good evening, and good night.
Go!
What are you waiting for, a graved invitation?
I ledge of a plegiance of to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republican for which in my hands with puberty and nachos. Nachos for all. Quack, quack.
Well, the landslide brought me down.
Le who? The her.
Don't make me smack you.
You mean illegal cable? Who told you that? What is his name? I want it. You're offering me a bribe. What you have just done is illegal. And in this state, if convicted, you could be fined up to $5,000 or spend 6 months in a correctional facility.
I'm just jerking your chain. I'll juice you up.
Cable!
I am your in-house cable guy, Stephen Roy. That's me. It is the rant-free second hour. You know what that means. Way less Stephen. More, no ranting. Good stuff. Yeah. For those of you that don't know me, I was a cable guy for over 30 years. So I have been a cable guy for over 30 years. Hoping to end that soon. And yes, I have 25 years plus of broadcast experience. This is not my first mic opening. Let's start with some Commodore, okay? First, an overheard voicemail from Talibanistan.
Yes, this is Agent Johnson of the U.S. FBI. My president has instructed me to ask you for the final time to turn over the person or location of one Osama bin Laden for his actions against our country, or you must face the consequences.
Leave us alone! We know nothing of his bin Laden!
We think you do.
We don't!
Listen, Mr. Taliban person, do you realize that this is your final opportunity, or we must lash out with an assault of which you do not have the technology to handle?
We do not carry your weapons! We have anti-aircraft and anti-tank and anti-personal weaponry!
We know that, but you don't have answering machines.
What?
Will you give us bin Laden?
No!
Okay. You asked for it.
Answering machine? What is that? Taliban!
Hello, how are you this afternoon? Would you like better rates on your long-distance service?
You have wrong number! Taliban!
Hello, Mr. Taliban. Did you know that aluminum siding can raise the property value of your house? We can install it at a fraction of the increase of your new property value. Are you interested?
You have wrong number! Taliban!
Congratulations! You qualify for the Platinum Card! Good afternoon, sir. Did you know that we have $40 million available for home improvement projects, and you qualify for...
That's it! Osama on his own! Taliban!
Good afternoon, sir. How would you like free HBO for a month?
Taliban!
Hello. For a great deal on automobile insurance, please hold the line for the next...
Hello, I have a special deal from America's number one sports magazine, including the famous
Good afternoon, sir. Can I interest you in details on how you can win a free vacation?
Some Blackberry Smoke for ya. How about some Texas music and then more Commodore? Today it's going to be comedians that are no longer with
us. Somebody somewhere's waking up with a face full of tears. 'Cause everything to say has been said. There's a man in a cell staring at the walls all around. Swears somebody done put the devil in his head. There's a world going on outside the world that I'm in. I got sunrise in Texas again. Well, I feel pretty good here, laying in this bed. Some old town, I swear to God, I don't know where. Share a smile with a woman, Lord, I'd love to share more. I guess it's always the same old game of truth or dare. Oh yeah, there's a world going on outside the world that I'm in. I got sunrise in Texas again. There's a got sunrise in Texas again. There's a young girl on the street, ain't got no shoes on her feet. Don't know where she gonna find her next meal. There's an old man wearing rags and he screams, you gotta love the ones you hate, 'cause the end. Texas sun,
me to the sun dips low. Texas sun. Texas sun. Oh girl. Texas sun.
Oh my God, RFD!
Bye. somebody here.
Back a few months ago, I was headlining at a great big nightclub. And he put me up a couple of days early. I came in a couple of days early, and they put me up at what they call the Star Suite. Now, here I am, headliner in one of the biggest nightclubs in the country, and I wake up at 8 o'clock in the morning in this Star Suite all by myself. Yeah, that's what I said, aw. But I did what I've always done, man, to cheer myself up. I picked up my guitar, I sat down, I wrote me a little song. Now this is how it feels to be alone at the top of the hill and trying to figure out why. Oh Lord, it's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way. I can't wait to look in the mirror, 'cause I get better looking each day. To know me is to love me. I must be a hell of a man. Oh Lord, it's hard to be humble, but I'm doing the best that I can. I used to have a girlfriend, but I guess she just couldn't compete with all of these love-starved women who keep clamoring at my feet. Well, I probably could find me another, but I guess they're all in awe of me. Who cares? I never get lonesome, 'cause I treasure my own company. It's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way. Can't wait to look in the mirror. Can't wait to look in the mirror. Help me out now, come on. I get better looking each day. To know me is to what? To know me is to love me. Must be a hell of a man. I must be a hell of a man. Oh Lord, it's hard. Lord, it's hard to be humble when you're doing what? We're doing the best that we can. I guess you could say I'm a loner, a cowboy outlaw, tough and proud. Well, I could have lots of friends if I wanted, but then I wouldn't stand out from the crowd. Some folks say that I'm egotistical. Hell, I don't even know what that means. I guess it has something to do with the way that I fill out my skin tight blue jeans. Whoa. Come on, where's all the kickers in here? Oh Lord, it's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way. When you're perfect in every way. Can't wait to look in the mirror. I can't wait to look in the mirror, 'cause I get better looking. I get better looking each day. To know me is to what? To know me is to love me. Must be a hell of a man. Must be a hell of a man. Oh Lord, it's hard. Lord, it's hard to be humble. What are we doing? We're doing the best that we can. One more time. What are we doing? We're doing the best that we can. Give yourself a hand.
Your host tonight has been a frequent guest on The Late Late Show, Jimmy Kimmel Live, and The Tonight Show. He is also the star of the two highly rated Comedy Central specials, Girth of a Nation and Prime Cut. Ladies and gentlemen, Ralphie May.
How are you? What's going on, everybody? Welcome to Live at Gotham, ladies and gentlemen. It's great to have you here. I'm sorry. It's a little smoky in the room. It looks like the club's in a cloud, but we'll make it through. I need another risk factor. Thanks for the smoke, Comedy Central. And how about this backdrop, huh? Oh, man. This looks like a monster movie, doesn't it? I'm happy to be here, but I'm happy in general. My wife and I just had a baby. Beautiful little baby girl. Thank you. Thank you. She's fantastic. Her name is April June May. And I know, at least y'all are being sweet about it, but that's her name, April June May. Try to forget it. Bet you can. You can't do that. My dumb buddies are like, dude, that's a stripper name, dude. That's a stripper name. No, it's not. Watch your mouth. That's my baby. Whatever, dude. That's a stripper name. You gave yourself a stripper. Like, no, it's not. Strippers don't name themselves cute little names like April, June, May. They give themselves names after cars they can't afford, like Lexus and Mercedes and Chrysler 300. She's a big girl. She works over in Hoboken. But she put the hoe in Hoboken. Trust her. Big girl. My wife, before she got pregnant, used to be a two-a-day stabbing type of girl. Once in the morning out of respect for the sun, and then once in the evening. As soon as that blue line showed up, she shut the monkey down. I mean, shut it down. I love her, man. But God, the ear beatings would not stop. She was such a gripe. She's like, you did this to me. You made this baby happy. You made me fat. My mom was right. Fat's contagious. I know, right? Yeah, you think normal Jew brides bitch a lot. Try a Jew bride who's growing a whole nother Jew bride in her. And I know, I sent some people going, oh, that's anti-Semitic. I don't know if I could laugh at that. It's not anti-Semitic. First of all, I married a Jew. I made a Jew. I'm doing the work of Jesus over here, for Christ's sakes, okay? Relax, Jews. And so what I did is I set up a five-hour spa appointment for her at her favorite spa, okay? And it was like an hour manicure, an hour pedicure, a facial, a massage, and something called a body polish. And I don't even know what that is. I think it's like a female rub and tug. I'm not sure, okay? I don't care. Some guy's over there playing centipede. I don't give a damn. As long as she comes home happy. I'm married. I don't care. Get her started. Do something. Prime the pump. I don't care. But we pulled over, right? And she was griping the whole way up there. And I kept it under the wraps, right? Till we pulled over to the spa and I said, just get out. And she flipped out. She didn't understand. She's like, oh my God, are you kicking me out of the car in your life? I'm pregnant. I'm like, no, don't be dramatic. It's a spa appointment. I've set up 5 hours for you. Go. Oh my God, it's so expensive. 5 hours, oh my God. I'm like, yeah, I make a couple dollars. Quit being a Jew. Beat it. Get out. Oh my God. And women can never take a gift. Okay, they can't take a gift without some kind of notion, like, oh, you're making me take this. Okay, fine, I guess I'll go. If you really want me to go to the spa, I guess I'll go. Like, it's the biggest outrage. I mean, only women do that. Dudes, if I was in a car with you, bro, and I said, dude, we pull up at a topless bar, and I go, dude, I just got you 5 hours of lap dances. You'd be like, peace. There'd be no drama. It'd be quick. Now, while she was at the spa, okay, because pretty much it got to the point where tuck and roll, get out, okay? I can't take it anymore. Stop the air beating, beat it. All right, I had seven Mexicans up at my house cleaning. I mean, cleaning. Yeah, I know, here they're Jamaican, but over there they're Mexican, okay? They were phenomenal, and no racial pun intended, but literally the house was spick and span, okay? Really, you're gonna groan? Really? I'll drop my pants and scar you off for life. Do you think I care? That's right, brother, you're the first one teabag too, okay? All right, so keep it sunshiny up. And I'm bragging a little bit because we're not that rich to have actual seven Mexicans working for us. All right, Mexicans are from El Salvador, but really, isn't that splitting hairs? I think so. Anyway, I pick the wife up, bring her back. House is clean. She's all glowy. I'll skip a bunch of the romantic stuff, okay? I'll skip that. I was about 30 strokes in, okay? And have you, if you're a man that has been with a woman that's having your child, you'll know what I'm talking about. You go like, this is everything I need in life. This is everything I need. They could take away everything else, and I've got everything I need. I got my beautiful wife, the vessel of my unborn child, and it's phenomenal. And my wife is the polar opposite of me. Together, we look like the number 10. She's about like your size, okay? About 115, 120 pounds. And when she was pregnant, 8 months, she looked like a snake that had swallowed a basketball, okay? She was just all belly. My unborn baby, while I was in the midst, okay, ran her face across the top of my wife's tummy, like, ah. And I saw it all. I saw it. Eye, nose, mouth. I'm like, ah! That's a C block you can't recover from. There's no getting back to that, okay? You can't recover from that. You're done. My wife was like, what's wrong? Is it because I'm fat? No, it's because our baby just joined in the party, okay? And that's weird, okay? I can't have that. I'm done. I'll be back when that giant comes back online in like 3 months, okay? I'll be there. I'll tear it up. But until now, no. When your baby gives you the mummy in the sandstorm, it's over. And so is my time, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much. You're great.
Ladies and gentlemen, Robert Schimmel.
Thank you so much. It is so great to be here in Kalamazoo, I can't tell you guys. I got in the other night, I checked into the hotel, it was about 11:15, they gave me one of those credit card keys. I stick it into the door, walk in, there's a guy in my bed, like in boxer shorts, this big guy, and he jumps out and he goes, hey, what the f-? And I'm like, whoa! So I'm like, I run out of there and I go down to the front desk and I said, hey, I don't think that guy wants to share the room with me. And then I'm thinking, what if this guy called some like weird escort service and said, yeah, here's my fantasy. I want the front desk to give this guy a key to my room, right? Then when he comes in, I'm going to act startled like he's breaking in and I'm going to beat the shit out of him. And then I'm going to come right on the floor. But he's got to act like he doesn't want it to happen. Because that's the way I like it. Because you know that guy'd be calling that escort service the next day going, I want the same guy again tonight. Not only was he good, he ran out so fast I didn't even get to pay him. But then they have those adult movies in the hotel that you can rent. They never show anything. It's always the guy naked down to here. Here's where the screen ends, and he's like, oh, yeah, you know how to... I'm like standing on a phone book trying to look into the television. I think that's why they invented express checkout at the hotel, so you don't have to face the guy the next morning. Well, that was one night at $79, and how'd you like Mongers? There must be a mistake. I didn't rent that. Yeah, you want to see the video of you to that movie? I just took my kids to Disneyland in L.A. in one of these nature marine park places because they have these billboards all over. Come see fish in their natural habitat. And then you get there and they have clowns riding on the back of dolphins and whales jumping through fire hoops. Like, this is what you see when you go to the beach. And she wants to get something to eat, my daughter, and I take her to the snack bar. They serve fillet of fish. What the f***? What are these, the acts that screw up? What a threat to have hanging over you there. Hey, look, you missed the hoop one more time. You see your friend Louie on the grill over there? We're not going around over here. I don't care if you're a fish, get on the bike. the bike or the grill? Why do they make animals ride bikes? I took my daughter to the circus. She said, Daddy, how do they teach a bear how to ride a bike? I said, it's easy. They nail his feet to the pedals and they beat the shit out of him. He's not riding, he's running. He just happens to be attached to the bike. My daughter wanted a pet. I got her a goldfish. I figured that would be easy. It died in like one day. But then you just flush it down the toilet. It's like the traditional burial at sea for fish. You can't do that with a dog or a cat. I mean, what if you did and it got stuck and then the Roto-Rooter guy came over? Yeah, I think I found the problem. You got a German Shepherd in your toilet. Can I use your phone for a minute? Then my daughter wanted a rabbit for a pet. I got her a rabbit. We had it for like 3 days. It started acting real sick and it's just laying around. And my wife goes, gee, maybe we should take him to the vet. I said, yeah, why don't you just let me take him for a drive? I'm going to take a $5 rabbit to the vet. So we're at the vet. The vet wants to put the rabbit in the animal hospital for observation. I swear, I'm not making this up. We go to visit the bunny the next day. It's in an oxygen tent with an IV in its arm. And the guy goes, I have some bad news for you. Yeah, am I wearing an Ahmed Tolle t-shirt? Pull the plug now. I think we're looking at four potential keychains here, maybe. Then I bought my daughter a puppy, and we have the puppy, and I love my wife, she's so great, but you know, the dog's in the house, she asked the dog if he did it. The dog's never going to answer her. She goes, did you shit over there? I'm like, no, honey, Aunt Rose in the kitchen. She actually drags the dog over to show him. I don't do that. The dog already knows he. You drag him over, they piss all the way over to where it is. That's why you gotta trick them. You gotta act like you don't know it and block their view of it and go, hey, where's my little buddy? Hey, come here. Hey, what the f's that right over there? I got mad. I wanted to hit him. She said, no, don't hit the dog. That's cruel. You rub his face in it. That's how you do it. I said, yeah. Let's ask him which one he wants. Rub his face in this. What if it's like a Doberman or a Rottweiler or something? Hey, did you over there? Yeah, you got a problem with that? No, it's a nice looking... And on the rug, too, just the way I like it. Do you need your polish while I'm here? My wife wanted a cat for a pet. She said, cats are better than dogs. When a dog has to shit at 3 a.m, they wake you up. You got to get up, let the dog out, wait till he's done, let him back in, go back to sleep. Cats, they have their own little box. They're so smart, you could actually teach them to go on the toilet. Yeah, great, when you have to go and the cat's in there. How long are you going to be, huh? Where's the box? And then you use the box and your friends come over and go, what do you got, a mountain lion for a pet here? Oh, he eats a lot. What do you, feed him corn? Isn't that weird that corn comes out like that? Why bother eating it? Why not just dump it right in the toilet and eliminate the middleman? So what else is happening? My wife and I just had a brand new baby and... Oh, yeah. You don't have to clap. I didn't pull out in time. All right.
Your host tonight has been a frequent guest on The Late Late Show, Jimmy Kimmel Live, and The Tonight Show. He is also the star of the two highly rated Comedy Central specials, Girth of a Nation and Prime Cut. Ladies and gentlemen, Ralphie May.
How are you? What's going on, everybody? Welcome to Live at Gotham, ladies and gentlemen. It's great to have you here. I'm sorry.
Of course, that's just my opinion. I could be wrong. Couple people not applauding. Let's see a green card, pal. Oh, no, he wants to ad-lib with me. I want to know what you think, America. Give me a call at 1-800-522-8673. Tonight's guest plays a president struggling with the immigration problem on HBO's The Second Civil War. On Saturday Night Live and News Radio, he's treated us to more wacky characters than Ellis Island. A good friend of mine, Phil Hartman. Phil.
What up, dear?
We're over here, baby. Thank you. Well, all right, Felipe. Good to see you.
Thank you, sir.
How's Bryn? How's the little ones?
Everything's peachy. I'm starting my summer hiatus and very happy to be out of the primetime twister.
What's the word over there? Littlefield going to give it another season?
I don't know. It's anybody's call, really. At this point, I just want to surf, man.
All right, Moondoggy. Now, I understand this. I haven't seen it yet because it's on HBO. I don't get HBO, but I have Second Civil War is about a parody of what happens if immigration goes unchecked. What are your views on it, personally?
On the film, Second Civil War, on immigration. Well, I am an immigrant. I came to this country in 1957 from a terrible hostile regime in Canada with my family. And then after hanging around for some 33 some odd years, I decided to become a U.S. citizen. And now I'm one of you, Americans. So I certainly don't oppose immigration, but what's fascinating about this subject, and it's one of the things that's touched upon in the movie The Second Civil War, is that you cannot even discuss this subject without being considered a racist in this country. And the immigration policy in the United States is the most liberal in the world. 800,000 people a year enter the United States legally, 900,000, and maybe another 200,000 or 300,000 illegally. And no other country tolerates that kind of illegal immigration or that kind of mass influx through their borders. If you discuss the idea of immigration reform in Congress, all hell comes down on you. And consequently, no one is trying to solve this problem, if it is a problem. In my opinion, I feel it is a problem. And actually, it is people like myself, legal immigrants, who are most upset about the insane policies that allow this illegal influx to take
place. Well, you know, Congress,
place.
You look up at Capitol Hill, it's like that Escher print of the birds flying together. You know, it makes no sense, and occasionally it's on your head. Now, what would you do to straighten out immigration in this country? Or do you feel it needs straightened out? Should we let more in? Should we let less in? You understand that people think the pie is being cut too narrowly, and some people want to keep people out for a while. Do you think that's not the American way, though, I guess, right?
Well, we're still thinking back per the inscription on the Statue of Liberty. And what I don't have a solution to the problem, and but I'm questioning why we don't even have a cogent dialogue about the problem. And it's largely because of political and economic forces within the country.
That nobody speaks the same language anymore.
And that. But you know, like a Democrat in Congress won't raise up the idea of immigration reform because the the downtrodden in our society traditionally vote Democratic. A Republican won't bring it up because Republicans overall are about business, and immigration, illegal and otherwise, provides a cheap labor pool. Also, anybody who has brought up the idea of immigration reform has been confronted by the lobbying groups of all nationalities who are trying to continue to encourage the influx of individuals. But it's only going to heat up because we're not discussing it. Do you know that in the next 5 years, over $1 billion a year in entitlements is going to be given through Social Security to foreigners who have immigrated to this country and not put so much as a dime into the system?
Ouch.
Yeah, ouch.
And it's gonna cause a riot, Phil.
Well, that's why I'm here today to talk about the new American Nazi Party. We're not just against gypsies and homosexuals anymore. I don't have the answer, but you know, I mean, why are we talking about it? Why aren't we talking about it?
Well, because this place is, for a place that's built on open discourse, you know, there's no more closed-mouth, closed-minded place in America. If you say anything that looks like you might want to keep people out for a while till we get our feet on the ground, you're going to be killed as, you know, just being an anti-foreigner. And, you know, so everybody just shuts up. But the fact is, can't the least we do is just ask that you register at the border? I mean, is it that much to ask? Are there countries? I mean, can I walk into like Saddam Husseinville and just start setting up a discotheque or what? I mean,
not a chance. No other country. In Japan, they have a saying, which means
you puked on me, Mr. President.
Exactly. No, that means you don't set foot in my country, white devil, unless you buy a 50-inch television set. No, we're nutcases over here. We really are. And you know, in Los Angeles, which has the worst traffic in the world, you know, the tension is running so high. I like Hispanic drivers. They're nice and slow. They got the low riders. They're down, you know. It's the Asians. Never use a turn signal. Coke bottle glasses. Who won that war anyway, people? No, I... You know, how's this? You want to get pissed off? How's this for a law? A pregnant woman who sneaks into the United States and has a baby in this country, that child is automatically a U.S. citizen. How do you feel about that? Has all the entitlements that you have as a lifelong taxpayer. You know, that's no other country in the world has a policy like that.
Well, you know, the state of California will not recognize same-sex marriages for the purposes of spousal medical benefits. So what a lot of the gay community now are doing is moving down to Mexico, setting up citizenship there, coming back here as an illegal alien so they can get their health care paid for. We have got a phone call for you. We've got line 7. We've got Polly from Middletown, Ohio. Polly?
Hello?
Polly?
Yes.
Want a cracker? No. What's your question, dear?
Yeah, my son works with an illegal from Mexico, and they live out in my garage. And I was wondering.
Wait a second. This is like Sling Blade 2. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, my son works with an illegal from Mexico, and they live in my garage. And I was wondering if I could go to jail for harboring him.
Are they paying you rent?
No.
Well, you're just a sucker, ma'am.
But if they were paying me rent, could I go to jail?
Yeah, you could go to jail, but you'd have money to buy cigarettes then. Okay.
No, this brings up a point. I mean, to me, it's not a racial issue. I don't care whether you're from Honduras, Mexico, or Chechnya. You know, if you come here, it should be under the auspices of law. That's all. And then there's what they call chain immigration, where when a family comes here from a foreign country, then they start bringing in grandma and grandpa and brother and sister, and they all go.
I know how
on
that
Social
works.
Security.
I had an immigrant mail to me the other day. I was supposed to mail them to 10 of my best friends, and the postage was a lot because the kid was heavy. All right,
but you know what it is, Dennis? The United States, as much as anything, the government of this country is a corporation that oversees a multiplicity of other corporations, and immigration, illegal and otherwise, is good for business. That's why it isn't stopped, in my opinion. It's because every immigrant buys gasoline, food, clothing, watches HBO. They are consumers. They pay sales tax, even if they don't necessarily pay income tax.
Right.
And they feed the system.
So it all becomes a bottom line thing.
I think so. It all becomes part of the big machine.
Which dictates right now that I have to do the news of the week. Can you stick around while I do it?
Watch me.
Felipe Hartman, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, Bill.
Or should we blame the images on TV?
No! Blame Canada!
Blame Canada!
With all their beady little eyes and flapping heads so full of lies.
Blame Canada! Blame Canada!
We need to form a full assault!
It's head is lost!
Don't blame me for my son Stan. He saw the darn cartoon and now he's off to join the Klan. And my boy Eric once had my picture on his shelf. But now when I see him, it fails.
Well, blame Canada!
Blame Canada!
It seems that everything's gone wrong since Canada came along.
Blame Canada! Blame Canada!
They're not even a real country anyway.
My son could have been a doctor or a lawyer, rich and true. Instead, he burned up like a piggy on a barbecue.
Should we blame the matches?
Should we blame the fire?
Or the doctors who allowed it to expire?
Heck no!
Blame Canada! Blame Canada!
With all the hockey hum of a low.
And that pitch on Murray, too.
Blame Canada! Shame on Canada!
I'd like to talk a little bit about Chinese buffets. I don't know if you knew this new development, but I'm not allowed anymore. They all have my picture with a big slash through it. No buffet. Buffet not for you. Son of a... You order a menu. You order a la carte. A la carte, yes. It's not my fault, though. With Chinese food, you get hungry again. Why is that? And it's a different kind of hunger. You go from full to starving. Nothing in between. You go, oh, my God, I can't believe I ate all that chow mein. Hey, look, they brought egg rolls. Two, please. I went to a grand opening of a Chinese buffet. I got a flyer in the mail. And it said grand opening, and I go there with a couple of the large mammal friends. And the owner meets us at the door. We closed. Says grand opening, pal. No, we closed. No buffet here. We dry clean now. I do your jacket, ready Friday. Now go. You cause trouble. Son of a bitch. I went to this one Chinese buffet, and I must say the owner was a little rude. I mean, he'd come out every hour. And Look, he's still here. He go again. What he was doing, I found out, was putting more MSG in the food as I went up. So about the seventh or eighth time, I was slipping into an MSG coma. I had that never say die spirit, though. I was crawling to that buffet. Must get to lo mein. I give him enough MSG, kill an elephant. He still keep going. You can't stop him. You go now. You're here 4 hours. Why you're here 4 hours? You no come here anymore. Why you have a spare rib? You're so big. Eat vegetable. Eat broccoli. You scare my wife. You go now. He was so mad. Oh, boy. Chinese buffet did not go well.
Oh, shit. the second show. Just the radio.